Well, there's some who say that God is mightily pouring out his spirit in Africa. Others say it's not God at all. It's a counterfeit. How do we sort it out in Africa and even here in America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, there's been quite a discussion already on my Facebook page, on internet, and a growing discussion following an article that I wrote that was posted this morning. And we get to talk about it right here on the air. In particular, if you have lived in Africa, if you are an African, if you've done ministry in Africa, I would love to hear from you. If you're part of an African-based church here in America, I'd love to hear from you, but this is a subject of importance to all of us who love the Lord and want to see a gospel in purity and want to see disciples really made. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast this Monday on The Line of Fire. To get in the discussion, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And to read the article that I wrote is African Charismatic Christianity, a Counterfeit. To read that, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and then just click on latest article to be able to read that. Hope you had a good weekend. I had a great time ministering in Atlanta Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning, then flew back in the afternoon and spent a considerable time polishing, fine-tuning, writing the article that I just referenced, this African Charismatic Christianity, a Counterfeit. And you say, well, why are we going to talk about that on the air today? I mean, most listeners are listening to me in America. Well, it's because it has to do with the question, is the Holy Spirit really moving powerfully around the world? Are hundreds of millions of people truly coming to faith in recent decades around the world? The great majority would be considered charismatic Christians. They believe in healing and miracles taking place today in Jesus' name and the gifts of the Spirit available today. Are these things really happening around the world, or is it just a sham? And then here in America, as there are reports of God moving powerfully and lives being changed and so on and so forth, if these things are really happening, we want to embrace them. If they're not, we want to reject them. There's growing discussion about this now because of Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference. I've interacted with things he's said, things other speakers at the conference have said, and the pastor that I want to interact with from Africa, not by phone. I mean, that'd be great if it happened one day, but just interacting with what he's written, is also going to be a speaker at the Strange Fire Conference. And because I value unity in Jesus, because I value unity based on truth, when there are charges made and statements made that are very strong against particular groups or individuals, sometimes it's important to talk about them. To say, okay, this has been said, what's true, what's false. So that's what we are going to do. 866-348-7884. Before we get into any of that, you may have heard that now that Ahmadinejad has finished serving his terms in Iran, there's a new Iranian president, President Rouhani, Hassan Rouhani. And some have said, oh, he's a moderate. This is going to be better than having Ahmadinejad in there, even though Ahmadinejad was really subject to the religious leaders, the national ayatollahs like Ayatollah Khamenei. But listen to what he has already said, the new Iranian president. He said that Israel, quote, has been a wound on the body of the Islamic world for years and should be removed. Yeah. So much for the new moderate, so-called moderate leader of Iran. We'll be back.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast today, 866-34-TRUTH. Do I hear some music? Well, I do. Ah, yes, some music from Africa there. Is God doing amazing things in the continent of Africa? Are multiplied tens of millions of Africans coming to faith across much of the continent? Are lives being radically changed? Are real disciples being made? Or is it just Christianity being merged with African superstition, Christianity being merged with African traditional pagan heretical beliefs, and therefore is not Christianity at all? 866-348-7884. For some weeks now, I have been getting copies of an article sent to me from a pastor in Africa whom I consider a brother in the faith who has much that's important to say. I'm sure we differ on certain doctrines. He's Calvinist, I'm not. And there'd be other perspectives we differ on, but again, we'd have far more in common than we differ on. I'm unfortunately not aware of how to pronounce his last name, Pastor Conrad Mbewe, M-B-E-W-E. If someone can tell me how to pronounce it properly, that's great. Otherwise, so I won't butcher his name. I will refer to him as Pastor Conrad. He pastors a Baptist church in Zambia. He'll be one of the speakers at Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference in October. And he wrote an article on his website that then got posted on Pastor MacArthur's website. So that got it a lot more attention. And people kept sending it to me saying, what do you think of this, Mike? What do you think of this article? And I thought, well, I'll respond in a constructive way. Again, that's my article, is African Charismatic Christianity, a Counterfeit. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. And he says this: many explanations have been given for the explosion of the charismatic movement in Africa. Many have seen this as a powerful visitation of the Holy Spirit. Whereas there is probably more than one reason, I want to add my own observation to this for what it is worth. In this blog post, I do not refer to the old conservative form of Pentecostalism once represented by the Assemblies of God churches. I have in mind the current extreme form that is mushrooming literally under every shrub and tree in Africa. How can one explain this phenomenon? And he said, I think that one reason why the charismatic movement in Africa has been like a wild bushfire is because it has not challenged the African religious worldview, but has instead adopted it. It has simply baptized it with Bible verses and Christian words that previously meant something totally different. So he explains how, for example, in place of the witch doctor in charismatic churches now, the Christians run to the, quote, man of God who has replaced the witch doctor, quote, he is the one who oozes with mysterious power that enables him to break through those two impregnable layers, namely the layers of dead ancestors and evil spirits, which are widely believed in the African world. And of course, there's truth about evil spirits, but there can be too much emphasis put on that. And then the power of dead ancestors, of course, just a myth. So according to Pastor Conrad, he is the one who oozes, the charismatic man of God, with mysterious power that enables him to break through those two impregnable layers which us lesser mortals cannot penetrate. So when blessings are not flowing our way despite our prayers, we make a beeline to his quarters for his church for help. This explains the throngs in these circles. The crowds are not looking for someone to explain to them the way to find God, the way to find pardon with God. No, they want the man of God to pray for them. And so he has a stranglehold over them. And as others have pointed out, he gets filthy rich, the charismatic man of God. Some even have private jets, whereas one teacher noted to me that people in their congregations are burying their dead because they didn't have enough money to go to a doctor. Pastor Mbewe, or Pastor Conrad, so I don't mispronounce his last name, he speaks about the prayer meetings where the, quote, prayer warriors scream at the top of their voices and chant the name of Jesus, and they sweat as they rebuke demons, and and the preachers just know a few verses, like by his stripes we're healed, and they repeat those over and over, and then they pray and people just fall to the ground in witch doctor fashion. And he says, what worries me is that this is so obvious that I'm wondering why we're not seeing this, or if we are, why we're not warning Christians against this. For the love of crowds, he says, we've allowed African traditional religion to enter the church through the back door. He says, we need to sound the warning that this is not Christianity. He says, it does not lead to heaven. He says, we have lost the Christian faith while we are holding the Bible in our hands and using some of its words. That's what he says. Now, in my article, I quote an African professor, PhD, and he is a professor in Ghana. In fact, his name is Kwabena Asamoah Gyadu, professor of contemporary African Christianity and Pentecostal Charismatic Theology in Africa at the Trinity Theological Seminary in Accra, Ghana. And he explains that Pentecostalism worldwide is a response to a cerebral Christianity. It was just a mind-based, rationalistic Christianity. And wherever it has appeared, the movement has defined itself in terms of the recovery of the experiential aspects of the faith by demonstrating the power of the Spirit to infuse life and the ability of the living presence of Jesus Christ to save from sin and evil. And he says that this Christianity is spreading powerfully all over Africa, and it is vital and it is vibrant. Evangelist Dan Kalenda, who is Reinhard Bonnke's successor and a grad from our ministry school, says the Western brand of stale, cold, theoretic, and purely cerebral Christianity that Africans have been offered by many of the Western evangelical denominations is laughable to them. For Africans, their faith must have real-world consequences, or it is worthless. Now, if Pastor Conrad had said, I praise God for the mighty things he is doing by his Spirit all over Africa and for the millions of Africans who are truly coming to faith, but it is a very immature and new movement, and some of the worst practices from America have been exported over to Africa, and I'm deeply concerned that many of people are falling into deception and that many others are just substituting traditional religious beliefs for Christianity or vice versa and morphing the two together, I would have said amen to many of his concerns. There are absolutely serious abuses. There are absolutely doctrinal errors. There are absolutely things that are wrong. But what grieves me again is the throwing out of the baby with the bathwater. What grieves me is not recognizing what God is doing. Paul didn't write to the Corinthians. Remember, they had doctrinal error. They had sin in their midst, and they were abusing the spiritual gifts. He wrote to them as saints and holy ones, called to be holy and called holy by God. And then as he commended them that they did not fall behind in any spiritual gift. He commended them for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in their midst, and then he corrected them. He didn't say it's not the Spirit. He didn't say it's not Christianity. He didn't say you're not saved. He said, God's doing wonderful things in your midst. You've been called out of darkness into light. Now I'm calling you to live this out, and I'm going to correct errors in your midst. 866-348-7884. Glenn in the Bronx, I want to get to your question, but first I want to speak to some of my African brothers and sisters and get perspective. And what we're going to sort out in Africa, the same principles apply around the world. Let us go straight to, let's go to Mark in Brooklyn. Mark, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire. What kind of church do you attend, sir?
Christian-based, Chapel of Hope. I am an African-American married to a Nigerian. The church is African. I don't see or feel any deception in my church. You know, that genuine Holy Spirit that comes through the church that's supposed to be genuine, humble, you know, no act of, you know, deception or trying to get money from you. And, you know, it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about us coming together as a family, fellowship. You know, you know, when I hear what this broadcast, you know, sometimes they focus on the negative so much, and the negative is an infection. You know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it hurts. It hurts Christianity and these pastors. I think all of us know and can, you know, have that discernment about, you know, God's word. You understand the understanding of it. And, you know, maybe it's people who are looking for, you know, looking for something and you know, they're trying to get more out of it than what they are supposed to feel. You understand what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I do. In fact, Mark, I've got to jump in, got a break here. I want to hear from more folks. But yeah, look, you're going to find negative everywhere. If it's being addressed, then let's look at what God is doing. If error is being corrected, let's focus on what God is doing.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Dear Lord Jesus Christ,
That was a meeting in Lagos, Nigeria, with my friend and esteemed colleague, Reinhard Bonnke, preaching. The government put an estimate of over 4 million people at the meeting. Bonnke's people put the estimate at closer to 2 million. More than 1 million people prayed that night and said they were turning from sin and turning to Jesus and crying out for salvation. They had over 200,000 workers trained and ready to get names, information for follow-up to try to get every one of those people into a local church on that following Sunday where they would start with a discipleship series. And yet there are people who write the whole thing off as emotionalism, superstition. 866-348-7884. In particular, if you are from Africa, if you have done ministry in Africa, if you are part of an African-based church in America, I'd love to hear your perspective, 866-348-7884. Also, before I go back to the phones, the issue of generational curses is something that is spoken about a lot in the African churches. The vast majority of churches in Africa believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. Even churches, Baptists, and so on, they're still dealing with demonized people. They'll pray in tongues more. The cessationism, in its strictest sense, is very rare in Africa and would even be different than the worldview, which recognizes the spiritual realm is as real as the natural realm, and Jesus is expected to work in both. So what concerns me is when you realize how things have grown, how the church has grown in Africa, how the gospel has spread. According to stats I have in front of me in a study, Christianity in its Global Context, that was done by researcher Todd Johnson of Gordon Conwell Center for the Study of Global Christianity, in 1910, only 9% of Africa's population was Christian. By 2020, Africa's Christian population is expected to reach 49.3%. There were nations that were largely Muslim that are now predominantly Christian. When it happens that quickly and growth comes that quickly, and you have African culture with its strengths and weaknesses as well, of course you're going to have abuses. Of course you're going to have problems. Of course there are going to be many things that need to be addressed. But come on, friends, when you were a brand new believer, when I was a brand new believer, people didn't throw us out on the street because we were new and raw. They nurtured us and they helped us. Plus, some of the finest, most committed, most solid Christians I know anywhere in the world are African charismatic Christians. Why must we have an either-or mentality? Why can't we recognize every group, every every denomination, if they're saved people, they have strengths and they have weaknesses. I have strengths and weaknesses. You have strengths and weaknesses. Why must we have this either-or mentality that can get so extreme? Let's go to Boston. Okay, in Boston, I understand you are a Nigerian, sir.
Yes, sir. I am a Nigerian. Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I happen to follow some of those things. Let me first of all say that there are very good Christians in Africa and in Nigeria. And there are lots of saved people that are following according to the Bible and have the Holy Spirit. But I happen to have this experience personally when I had my son in Nigeria. My wife brought somebody to pray who's supposed to be a Christian, a Catholic reverend sister. When she came to pray, the hair at the back of my head stood up because she was praying like a voodoo doctor, like a witch doctor, like somebody who has anything but Christianity. So I was like, I challenged her right away. Can you imagine challenging a reverend sister? And I was raised Catholic, so I have respect for them. But when she started to pray, I knew that was not a Christian.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is these people who come even as a Catholic or any other denomination. I just happened to mention Catholic because this person was Catholic. And when they were praying, they have adapted, they have Christianized witchcraft or, you know, something that is very far from Christianity. And they are all under the rubric or under the umbrella of a Christian. And the people there, some of them are so naive that they have no idea what's going
Absolutely.
On. She was praying and talking about the mommy water, which is something like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's mommy, like from the mom, or, you know, and then water. That's like spirit of from the sea, which is something that you find in the traditional witchcraft and voodoo medicine and that type of a thing that has nothing to do with Christianity.
Yeah,
and so forth.
Yeah, so just to jump in, because I've got a break coming up, the first thing that's important to recognize is that, as you say, this is widespread. It's found in Catholic circles, evangelical circles, charismatic circles, and it's a definite problem. And the right way to address it is to say, Jesus is doing wonderful things and changing lives powerfully. Now we have to disciple people in the Word of God, and we have to disciple people in character rather than saying, this is not Christianity. Oh, abuse is like that. That's obviously not Christianity. But thank you, sir, for that perspective, which is the very thing I want to communicate. Why must we have this either-or mentality? Why can't we recognize that the Holy Spirit is moving mightily and legitimately tens of millions of people in the continent of Africa have been saved in recent decades and will be your friends forever in heaven? And yet there's a tremendous amount of immaturity and a lot of abuses, so let's come alongside and help. Now, I've got big questions to ask. Do we, in America, instead of substituting the witch doctor for the man of God or the man of God for the witch doctor, we substitute the pastor for the CEO and superstar. I'll come back to that in a moment. But friends, get my book, Time for Holy Fire, Preparing the Way for Divine Visitation. It'll tell you what revival really is and isn't based on scripture, based on history, and then how to discern and how to find out what is God and isn't God. When you order the book, if you order it online, or if you give us your email when you order, you can get a free download with it of over 10 hours of teaching. So you order the book, you get the free download. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Order the book, get over 10 hours of teaching on revival and visitation on MP3 for free when you order the book. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978 or go to askdrbrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're talking about charismatic Christianity in Africa, but not just in Africa. We're talking about what God is doing around the world. How do we sort out what's really the spirit and what's from the pit, from the enemy, or just the flesh? How do we sort out that which is heavenly versus that which is human versus that which is hellish? How do we separate pure emotionalism from a real work of the Spirit? Because we see emotionalism in one place, does that mean we throw out what the Spirit is really doing? 866-348-7884. Let me say a few things before I go back to the phones. Most people who have been commenting and interacting on various sites or calling in wanting to interact with me about my request for public dialogue or private dialogue with Pastor John MacArthur and other speakers at the Strange Fire Conference have appreciated what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. Some think, well, you're just doing this for sensationalism. I don't need sensationalism. Those gentlemen don't need sensationalism. I don't need sensationalism. I'm in the midst of controversy day and night. Anyway, I could take a day without controversy. That would not be the end of my world. Nor, at this stage of life in ministry and at the age of 58, am I going to use the names of other brothers and sisters in the Lord for the purpose of creating controversy. That's idiotic and immature. Some have said, yeah, it's divisive. No. It is striving to move beyond divisiveness. In other words, when I hear respected leaders make very negative comments about brothers and sisters in the Lord, or completely trash a whole movement as if it's all of the devil or all of the flesh or not Christianity, when I hear that, that concerns me. So with respect, if public comments have been made, I will now reach out in public to dialogue with those comments. Just like if you hear something on the radio that I say, you don't need my permission to talk about it on your Facebook page or to sit around at a Bible study and say, well, I heard Dr. Brown say this. What do you think of it? And you don't need my opinion. And if you all disagree with me, that's fine. We've all got to walk with fear and trembling before the Lord and seek to honor him and do what's right in his sight and be faithful to him based on his word. So that's fine. What I'm doing is saying, okay, statements have been made publicly. I believe they need modification. I believe they're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I'm concerned about that. So I'm going to start a public dialogue by speaking about it and by writing with respect towards my brothers and sisters who differ. Come on, we're on the same radio stations. We're on the same TV stations. We're preaching in the same cities. We're all part of the same body. Let's talk. Let's not make believe we don't have these differences. Let's talk and let's listen. Let's learn from each other. Let's hear each other out. And then at the same time, I continue to request private dialogue. We're all super busy, but perhaps the Lord would be in it. We'd be able to sit down face to face, even if we differ. Sometimes when you sit down face to face or have an extended conversation by phone or something, it's like, oh, your problem is this. Okay, here, I just had a conversation with a Jewish brother, Messianic Jewish leader, about a subject, and I was taking one side. I was concerned with how traditional Jews who don't believe in Jesus the Messiah would respond to this particular issue. He was concerned how Messianic Jews would respond, and we were each coming with different perspectives, but we were actually in harmony. So my goal is greater unity. That's why, you know, when we have racial strife in America, we talk about it to learn from each other and to expose blind spots in each other. That's why when there's doctrinal controversy, we talk about it. My goal is to glorify Jesus and to be constructive. We come back. I want to talk about African charismatic Christianity. I want to talk about discerning what God's doing versus what the flesh is doing. I want to talk about how we baptize Christianity into our culture in America and the issue of generational curses. Is such a concept biblical? And is it still valid for believers under the new covenant? All that when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. We're talking about outpouring of the Spirit. When is God genuinely moving? When is it just emotionalism and hype? When is it demonic? How do we tell the difference? 866-348-7884. Let's go to Glenn in the Bronx. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire. What's on your
Thank
mind,
you.
Sir?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I have a hunger and thirst after to see God move in this country, particularly in my own heart. And these days when I want to be in the Spirit in a church that where the Holy Ghost is moving, generally I have to go to an African church, even though I'm African American. Mm-hmm. I have to go to a church from Ghana or Nigeria to experience the move of the Holy Spirit. But I did want to ask you, in terms of the move of the Spirit, the revivals, and particularly in this country, whatever happened to the Brownsville movement? There was such, you know, talk about that not long ago.
Sure.
It was a great move of the Spirit.
Yeah,
I was just wondering whatever happened to that.
Yeah, it began in June, Father's Day of 1995. It continued really in full force for a good 3-4 years. By 99, it was starting to wane some, and 2000 had waned more in terms of just what was happening in one particular church. But the fruit of it continues to bear powerful testimony of what Jesus is doing around the world. First, the leadership team that I work with, this is the team that I was together with in Pensacola. I was a leader in the revival from 96 to 2000, raised up the Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, which now continues as Fire School of Ministry. So we continue to send out people around the world. The successor to Reinhard Bonnke, preaching to millions and millions across the continent of Africa and other countries, and preaching a very sound, basic, clear gospel message, is, in fact, one of our ministry school grads, Daniel Kalenda. So the fire of the revival continues to burn in him around the world. Many of our grads are doing amazing work in different countries, ministering to the poorest of the poor, to hurting, planting churches in unreached areas, reaching out to tribal peoples, doing humanitarian work, fighting against human trafficking, and so on. And that's all direct fruit of the revival. The leader of our Philippines team, we've got a number of teams with leaders there, but the overall team leader came to Pensacola, came to Brownsville, was just a small rundown neighborhood in Pensacola. He came there as a hard-drinking, lost sinner, came to the Tuesday night prayer meeting, and at the prayer meeting, without anyone preaching, was so mightily touched by the presence of God that he came to repentance and got saved at the prayer meeting, and then responded to the altar call and subsequent services, and then came to our school of ministry with his family, and is now leading a team with, if you count men, women, and children, probably over 50 people, all directly or indirectly touched by the revival in Pensacola. Ministries have been birthed out of this, churches have been birthed out of it. So the fire continues to burn, even though what was happening in that one local church definitely came to an end in that pronounced way.
Can I ask you one more question?
Please.
I appreciate your answer about that. I would love to see revival in this country. And I was thinking, you know, Africa may have its witches and witch doctors, but I wonder if in America, our witch, psychiatrists and psychologists have kind of taken the place in terms of perhaps one reason why we don't see as much revival as we could. I know that's controversial to say, but even me, when I start getting on fire for the Lord, I have people come to me like they came to Jesus and sometimes say, well, brother, you're getting kind of beside yourself. Maybe you need to take some medication, so to speak. But anyway,
There are two sides to this. You know, on the one hand, sometimes we can get overzealous and we can get immature. But many other times, Glenn, when we start to burn bright, when we start to get passionate for the Lord, it makes others uncomfortable. Leonard Ravenhill used to say that the church has been subnormal for so long, when it finally becomes normal, everybody thinks it's abnormal. Or the way Watchman Nee put it, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature up to normal, everybody thinks he's got a fever. When someone really starts living for God, it often makes us uncomfortable because we're kind of caught up in our complacent lifestyles. I mentioned in my article, is African Charismatic Christianity a counterfeit? I actually mentioned there that one of my friends in America hosted a pastor from Ghana for a few weeks, and they went to church services all different nights and times, and after every church service, they'd go out to the restaurant and have a meal together. And this pastor from Ghana said, "Now I know why nothing happens in your churches. You spend all your time feasting. We spend our time praying and fasting." So many times when someone was really seriously going after the Lord, it makes us uncomfortable. And here's what happens, for example, in Mark 5, after Jesus drives the demons out of the demoniac there, and it shakes up the whole region, the demons going into the pigs flooding down the running down the banks of the river and killing themselves and so on. They see the man clothed in his right mind. Instead of begging Jesus to come and minister to all their sick and demonized, they beg Jesus to leave. And his presence disrupted things too much. His presence shook things up too much. In fact, in my book, Time for Holy Fire, I have a chapter called The Disruptive Messiah based on that. So Glenn, it's true. Again, sometimes we can become obnoxious. We can become self-righteous. We can drive other people away. But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right that sometimes the fire burning bright in us makes others uncomfortable. Sometimes it's difficult to really be an all-out committed disciple for Jesus here in America without being called fanatical. In fact, I've said for years that what the world calls fanaticism and most of the world calls extremism, God calls normal. Let me go back to the phones. Deborah in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
You know, I saw you in Flushing, Queens. That was so good. Oh, God, it was so good.
Oh, yes. Okay, wonderful. The meeting we had over at Pillars of Faith.
That's right. Anyway,
great. Thank you for coming out.
I had two experiences with two Nigerian churches in Brooklyn. One was around the corner from me, and I just happened to drop in, and I started going. And I had to leave because this particular pastor had, you know, he used to say things about Jews. He would say things like, you know, the Jews run New York. And one day I asked him for a private meeting, and I said, "Do you realize that Jesus was Jewish?" You know, and he really got mad at me.
Mm.
And so I left there, and then I went to another Nigerian church, and it was about 100, maybe 150 people. It was a small church, but to tell you the truth, everything they did was teach about prosperity.
Yeah.
Do you want a house? Do you want two houses? Do you want three houses? And then no doctrine. I don't believe I learned anything, but they used to make us go into a trance, you know, like get like, this is what they would call getting the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would stand and you would like repeat over and over and over again the same thing. And then he would go around and he would put his hands on you, like if he was imparting the Holy Spirit. And it was like nothing. I didn't get anything from it. And both of the pastors were very stern, to be honest with you. No meekness,
yeah,
no
so Deborah, I'm not aware of the anti-Jewishness. You know, I haven't run into that with any African Christians I've known.
No, I'm just telling you the one time I went to this.
No, I understand. But there's no question these are some of the very abuses that need to be addressed. Now, of course, here's the issue. They're found in all kinds of other churches. There are,
of course,
the prosperity emphasis actually came from America over to Africa. You know, the carnal prosperity message and things like that. So
yeah, they would recite like, "Oh, I'm with like this person or that person or Creflo Dollar or something like that." You know, and they take their messages from these people. But the issue was that I wasn't learning anything. For instance, they asked the question, "What can separate you from God?" And then, you know, they went around the room, and finally they came on me, and I said, nothing. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And they went right over me and kept going until they found their answer.
Yeah. Deborah, I got to run because we got a break. But without question, these are some of the abuses that exist. And then we could hear 1,000 testimonies of the positive things God's doing. So that's it. We've got to deal with the abuses without throwing the whole thing out. So, Deborah, thanks for sharing that. Those are very real issues. Appreciate it. We'll be right back. 866-34-TRUTH.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. There was a question that was raised to Pastor Phil Johnson. He is longtime right-hand man of Pastor John MacArthur and his editor. It was raised by a pastor of Grace Bible Church in Kiev, so in Ukraine. And I want you to hear this response. Let's play clip number 3.
If you had to characterize them, you know, because we filled a lot of spots, you know, with modern day like representatives and stuff, which one would you put them into? Gnostics?
Yes, some charismatics have a sort of Gnostic flavor to them, yeah.
All right, now, there's a longer quote. We just played a snippet. I absolutely agree that some charismatics have a Gnostic tendency or certain Gnostic theology. In fact, in my book, Hyper Grace, the second to last chapter is called The New Gnostics. I absolutely agree with that. The question is, when we go from some to all, now, Pastor Johnson didn't do that. But some do. In other words, some will write off all because of some. Some non-charismatics have a rationalistic mentality that goes back to deism, that God created the world and then left it alone and doesn't interact with it. And it is a deistic rationalism that infuses some cessationist theology. Is that all? No, of course not. That's the problem. The problem is to paint with such a broad brush that we don't discern errors, to paint with such a broad brush that we don't recognize that God is moving and at the same time Satan is moving and at the same time human beings are making mistakes and at the same time we have to help disciple new believers. Yes, address errors. You say, yeah, but what about these abuses that are taking place? What about some of these carnal prosperity preachers in Africa, excuse me, that are getting filthy rich while their people live in abject poverty? Who's addressing it? Preachers in Africa are addressing it. Charismatic and non-charismatic preachers in Africa are addressing it. In other words, yeah, there are problems, just like crazy stuff that takes place on Christian TV here in America. Hyper-prosperity teaching and so on, there, that's being addressed constantly. You might see it on TV and think, man, that's all of America. No, that's a very prominent face of it, but it's not the norm. It is a loud, prominent face, often filled with serious error, but it's hardly the norm throughout the country. What we have to do in particular when something is new is nurture it. Now look, we baptize Christianity into our own cultural context here in America. And the pastor, he doesn't take the place of the witch doctor. The pastor takes the place of the CEO of the business. And the church is run like a business. Or he becomes the superstar. The megachurch pastor is like the superstar. Or instead of the priesthood of every believer and every believer being a student of the word, it's just the man of God who teaches. We don't dare differ with the man of God. Hey, don't do that with me either. Yeah, I'm a serious student of the word. Yes, I've got a decent educational background. Yes, I spend time with God pouring through the word, but I'm not the infallible guide. neither is the pastor of your church or the leader of your denomination. We need to be able to eat the meat and throw away the bones. 866-34-TRUTH. I still have not gotten to the issue of generational curses. So Joseph, stay there. I want to talk about this in the next segment after this break for those that'll be listening in the next hour. But let me try to grab one more call. Ethlyn, also in Brooklyn. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. God bless you. You're speaking with knowledge that you did not give yourself. Your knowledge came from God. And I just want to thank God for today, the topic that you're talking about, the religion in Africa, the people. I lived in Africa for 8 years on assignment from one government to the other government. And I thank God for the experience because I was very young. And first of all, we attended the Church of the Nazarene. Thank God for the pastor. He was from Pasadena, California. And I thank God for the training that he gave me. When I came to New York, I didn't lack anything. Talking about Nigeria, when I went to Nigeria, I felt a power. And I know it was the power of God that I've never felt in any other country until I got to find out, and I was curious what was going on until the in September I met somebody, and she said to me, I would like to talk to you. She said to me, oh, you're so intelligent. I would like to talk to you. Can you give me your phone number? And I gave her my number. And she said, you know, now and then I listen to the prayer line. And who were on the prayer line? The Nigerians. And I know there is not a time you could go to that line and that man is telling you any foolishness. If you have to know God, what we need to do is, because we all need to know God for ourselves, and then we will not be be able to know when God is speaking from God, when God is not speaking. Yeah. Because when I came here first, a lot of people hated me in the church. Because what happened? I decided I'm going to serve God, comes what may. But they couldn't understand. They said, I want to show off. Look at how intelligent you are. You think you make yourself that intelligent? Don't care. No Ivy League school could have taught you what you know. I listen to you every day, and sometimes you have me cracking up. And as for Israel, if we had any sense, or anybody have any sense, they wouldn't fight Israel. Because when I went to Israel last year, I was so happy. I said, God, let your hands continue to shine Amen. On these people. Because
dear sister, I
so
apologize. I have to jump in, but I'm smiling from your call, from your testimony, from the reality of your experience, and for being a regular listener. And it bears out the very thing I'm saying. You're going to hear error in certain places, but let's remember the glorious, powerful things God is doing and not paint everything in such either-or terms. Sister, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. All right. Speaking of Israel, sign up now. The first tour I'll ever be leading to Israel. All the info is right on the homepage of my website, askdrbrown.org. It'll be unique. Trust me, it'll be a unique tour. Not only will I have the joy of getting to meet so many of you over the course of the tour, we'll be doing live broadcasting from Israel. You'll be able to sit in the evening on our Line of Fire broadcasting. I'll be joined by Dr. Michael Radelnik, who's a tour expert himself, Jewish believer, professor of Jewish studies at Moody. We'll be doing joint teaching. My colleague Scott Volk will be there. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org. And by all means, if you're able to go, sign up now. The sooner folks sign up, the better it is for everyone involved. All right, my bottom line today, let us be very careful to revere and honor what the Holy Spirit is doing. We will and must correct abuses, but let us not reject the Spirit in the process. Well, there's some who say that God is mightily pouring out his Spirit in Africa. Others say it's not God at all. It's a counterfeit. How do we sort it out in Africa and even here in America?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. We are talking about a subject of great interest here in America. It's a subject of what God is doing in Africa. You say, well, I don't get it. Why is that of great interest to me in America? Because it seems, it appears, that in the last 100 years, the gospel has spread in an incredible way across Africa. So through the continent, whereas 100 years ago, 10% of the population was professing Christianity, now it's close to 50%. Countries where Islam and animism and tribal religion ruled the day now are largely Christian. But others are saying it's not Christianity at all. It's just a substitute for traditional African religion merged with the gospel. And then it raises the question, well, how do we determine what the Holy Spirit's doing as compared to what the flesh is doing? How do we determine what is really God? What if we see abuses and problems? Do we throw out the baby with the bathwater? 866-348-7884. Again, this has been a concern I've had with the upcoming conference that Pastor John MacArthur will be holding. I say this with respect and honor towards an older brother whose work has helped all of us. If you love Jesus, then Pastor MacArthur has helped you in one way or another, whether you know it or not, through his preaching or teaching over the decades and from holding high the standard of Jesus. And yet, I would take exception to what I feel are extreme statements where he does not recognize what the Holy Spirit is doing because he sees abuses or because he sees things that are contrary to what he would accept as normal or biblical. 866-348-7884. It's because I love unity. It's because I want to see greater discussion. Normally, we're both in our own camps. And the one camp, let's say the charismatic camp, points at the cessationist camp and says, you guys are just dead, and you're just full of intellectual and theological pride, and you're doing nothing. And then the cessationist camp points at the charismatic camp. I'm giving broad, exaggerated statements. And the cessationist camp points at the charismatic camp and says, you guys are just full of emotionalism. You don't even know the Bible, and you even give way to demonic stuff. And okay, well, let's talk then. Let's talk. If you're an African Christian, if you lived in Africa for a period of time, if you did ministry in Africa, I especially want to hear from you, and I'll do my best to get you up the list of our callers today to speak with. The number to call, 866-348-7884. And then I wrote an article. It's longer than my normal articles. It's called, Is African Charismatic Christianity a Counterfeit? A pastor in Zambia, Pastor Conrad Mbewe, again, forgive me for not pronouncing his last name correctly, or if I got it right, I don't know it. So I'm referring to him as Pastor Conrad versus butchering his last name. He pastors the Kabwata Baptist Church in Zambia. He's one of the speakers at the upcoming Strange Fire Conference. He wrote an article that's gotten a lot of circulation, Why is the Charismatic Movement Thriving in Africa? And his basic thesis is, it is thriving in Africa because it has not challenged the religious worldview, but has instead adopted it. And the charismatic man of God takes the place of the witch doctor and so on. And while he absolutely raises valid issues about valid problems that charismatics in Africa are addressing as well, he throws out the baby with the bathwater when he says this is not Christianity and it doesn't lead to heaven. So what we talk about in Africa, the same principles of discernment we'll use here in America. Back with your calls and a whole bunch of interesting stuff this hour.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Here's some fascinating data, and then I want to go to your calls. I also want to ask the question, generational curses. That's something that Pastor Conrad in Zambia says is a heresy. Is it something that was true in Old Testament times but is not true under the cross? Is it something that remains true? Is it something that's true but gets abused? Generational curses. I don't know that we've ever talked about it at any length here on the broadcast, but I'd love to get your take on that. 866-348-7884. Here's a report from the Pew Research Forum. And what I'm looking at is, it came from October 2006. It's called Spirit and Power, a 10-country survey of Pentecostals. And here's something just absolutely, absolutely revealing, eye-opening. Are you ready? On social and moral issues, all professing Christians, all Americans who were saying homosexual behavior is never justified as of 2006, that was 50% of Americans, but 80% of Pentecostals, this is in America, 59% of charismatics, and 54% of Christians in general. So the Pentecostals had the highest view of saying this is wrong. Go to Kenya, all right? And I'm not sanctioning death penalties or abusing people, God forbid. In Kenya, the population as a whole, 98% homosexuality wrong. Pentecostals, 99%, charismatics, 98%, other Christians, 98%. And that helps color the feelings of the whole nation because there are so many Christians in Kenya. The same thing when you look at these stats here. In Nigeria, 50% of the people say divorce is wrong, but 81% of the Pentecostals say it is wrong. Higher percentages there. Again, there are abusive practices in some of these African countries in terms of how open homosexuals are treated, and that's to be deplored if they're beaten or they rape lesbians to try to abuse them or turn them into heterosexuals, or they have death penalty and things. That those are whole separate issues. Of course, they have death penalties for many other things there as well. But in terms of moral standards, the African countries on sexual morality and drunkenness and divorce often have higher standards than we do here in America, and we look down our noses at them. It's not to say they're not real abuses. It's not to say they're not real problems. It is to say absolutely that God is moving and doing great things as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Susan in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Good afternoon. I just want to say two things. One, yes, I do believe in generational curses. I believe it strongly because of the kind of ministry I've been involved in and where I've been delivered of things from generational curses. Two, I do believe that there's a great move in Africa. I mean, look at the Brownsville Revival. Look at people said the same stupid things about that, and it was the most powerful thing I've ever experienced. It was glorious.
Mm-hmm.
It was holy and righteous and clean. Yes.
So what do you know about what's happening in Africa? Do you have any firsthand knowledge, background, experience?
No, sir, I don't, except for the fact that I read a prophecy about Africa, and it was going to be a power that God was going to bring a great, great awakening. God was going to use Africa in a very mighty way. So I have to say that's very, very true. And I've noticed that people from Africa, you know, they are so much, they really are. They're very strong in their values and beliefs and against homosexuality and against things that are very lawless. and I've gone to Bible college with people from Africa, and they're on fire.
Yeah, it is interesting, you know, that some of the most committed students we've ever had in our school of ministry have been African charismatic Christians, devoted, yeah, passionate, loving Jesus, serious about the Lord. Yeah. And at the same time, I've met many flaky African believers. And again, it's because there's so many, and it's because the movement is so new. You're talking, many of these are first generation. Many are first-generation believers, and they come out of all kinds of weird tribal backgrounds and witchcraft backgrounds and things like that, and they are brand new. Let's recognize what God's doing and disciple and help them. Oh, and by the way, there are a lot of devoted American Christians and a lot of flaky American Christians. 866-34-TRUTH. Bonnie in San Diego, California, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
There's a couple of scriptures that I'd like to bring out. 1 Corinthians 11:19 and Hebrews 5:14. Paul says in 1 Corinthians that when you come together in church, there are going to be divisions among you because there must be heresies among you, that those which are approved may be manifest among you.
What translation did you read from?
It's King James.
Yeah, because the word differences and then heresies, it should be
division.
Differences in both. Yeah, divisions. That's what the word should be. Paul didn't say there should be heresies among you. He said there need to be divisions among you, and that's what's going to help separate things. But he doesn't say that you need to have heresies in your midst. The Greek word for heresies is also the word for divisions, and that would just be not the best way to translate it there. But go ahead, back to your point.
My point is that according to Hebrews 5, that our goal is to go from being babies in the Lord that only can tolerate milk into full-grown people who can teach strong meat, because by reason of use, we've walked in discernment to know between both good and evil. So the point is that I was raised for years in the biggest Pentecostal denomination. I was never really taught about discernment,
mm-hmm,
and knowing that when I came together, there was going to be divisions, and that the reason why was that I needed personally myself not to rely on somebody else, but to rely on the Holy Spirit and grow from a baby who's can only able to take in milk to somebody who, by reason of use, and I'll get that use in the church when we all come together and,
yeah,
and discern between the divisions, be able to tolerate and teach strong meat.
But you know, just to jump in, Bonnie, you know what I often find, though, is that in so many churches, that the way we have things set up, where you kind of have the pastor who's almost the performer, and he comes in and does his thing, and you know, we applaud the worship team, great job, and then the pastor brings this great word, and often there's very little growth on our own. You know what I'm saying? Often there's very little discipling that takes place there, and we just kind of sit and listen, and we don't get challenged to grow on our own. And that's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed. How to make disciples better. How to help people grow in Jesus more. How to take people deeper in God so they're not just church attenders, but that they learn to discern, that they grow in the knowledge of the word. Bonnie, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me read a quote to you from Daniel Kalenda. He's a grad from our school of ministry when it was in Pensacola. He has succeeded Reinhard Bonnke preaching around the world, literally preaching to millions in Africa and seeing countless hundreds of thousands responding to the gospel. And he said this, the Western brand of stale, cold, theoretic, and purely cerebral Christianity that Africans have been offered by many of the Western evangelical denominations is laughable to them. For Africans, their faith must have real-world consequences, or it is worthless. So you have to understand, in Africa, even in evangelical churches, even in churches that might call themselves Baptists or other Nazarene, many of them still speak in tongues. And many of them realize they have to deal with demonized people because those people are not institutionalized in lots of parts of Africa. So they expect a gospel that is going to bring real-world results in the power of the Spirit. Okay, back with a whole lot more. I might even play a controversial clip or two.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. We're talking about African charismatic Christianity. Is it a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or is it counterfeit, not Christianity at all? My simple take is God's doing amazing things in Africa. Tens of millions of Africans have genuinely been saved and come into the kingdom. At the same time, there are many abuses and there is much immaturity. And some of the finest Christians you'll meet in Africa are charismatic Christians. I should say some of the finest Christians you'll meet anywhere in the world. And then some of the weirdest, most far out, unbiblical practices in the name of Jesus, the name of the Spirit, are being carried out in Africa as well. 866-348-7884. Pastor Conrad, again, I'm not pronouncing his last name because I don't want to butcher it, pastor in Zambia who is deeply concerned about the charismatic movement in Africa and says, in distinguishing it from the older Pentecostal Assembly of God type movement, says it's not Christianity at all. It's not leading people to heaven. He speaks of the heresy of generational curses. Now, I didn't want to get into a major controversy about that in my article. I simply said that it's clear scripturally that generational curses can exist, and I referenced 1 Samuel, the second chapter, where there's a curse on Eli's descendants. That is clearly there, and then some would point to what God says in the Ten Commandments that there will be judgment on the third and fourth generation of those who hate him, and then mercy and love to a thousandth generation of those who love him. Some would say with the new covenant, now that we're under the cross, those things don't apply anymore. To me, to call it heresy was what was problematic, whereas it's something that can be debated scripturally. So let's just stop for a moment and focus on that before we get to some of the larger issues. Joseph in Bowie, Maryland, thanks for holding over from the last hour. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes. I want to talk. Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Okay, I want to thank Dr. Brown for discussing this issue, especially the ironic spirit with which he's discussing the issue, controversies about charismatic movement. I am from Nigeria myself. I grew up in Nigeria and did my Christian work, a lot of it in Nigeria. Mm. Worked with an interdenominational organization as a traveling secretary, the Scripture Union, before I came to the United States. Now, I would say that this issue of generational curse, probably, as far as I can remember, was probably a heresy, I call it, that originated from Nigeria. I happen to know the evangelist, probably who originated this heresy in Nigeria. Now, generational curse, really, I say that if somebody really understands the doctrine of salvation, or what they call soteriology, then this issue of generational curse vanishes. There is so much in Scripture that goes against this heresy of the generational curse. Because, for instance, how can you justify generational curse when the Bible tells us that we have been delivered, that Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that Christ delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, for those people who study Greek, you know that the word deliverer, that word deliverance or deliver, used in Greek, there is a Greek word, ruomai, which is actually a military word, meaning that when God saved us, he didn't just throw us out and let us to fend with the devil or fend on our own. That God saved us and he is watching over us military style. How can you justify generational curse when the Bible says that the believer was died with Christ, was raised with Christ, and is seated with Christ in the heavenly place, even as we speak? Positionally, the believer is seated with Christ in the heavenly place. Mm-hmm. How can such a person be held back by so-called generational curse?
All right, so again, let me
preach on this matter, but I just want to say that there is so much, if somebody really understands the teaching, clear teaching of the Bible and mm-hmm. authority of the Holy Scriptures, generational curse has no play whatsoever.
So let me ask you this. I've never dealt with it in my own life. There's never been an issue that's come up where I had to deal with a, quote, generational curse. So it's nothing I've ever focused on personally. And thank you for your very kind words. I appreciate that. But here's my question. And I know you give a long answer, but because we have a break coming up, I need to ask for a short answer, okay?
Sure.
We are positionally seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have died to sin. We can't live in it any longer. At the same time, we're called on to renew our mind. We have already been sanctified positionally, and yet we are called to walk our sanctification out. So can there be remnants of things from the old life? They're certainly in our thought life. We have to renew our minds, habits. There can be things in our physical body that need to be broken, bad habits when we get saved. So how I'm asking you, why can't there be demonic remnants that still hang on because of an unrenewed mind or addictions in the body? Why can't that be there and that has to be broken even once we're saved?
Okay. There is the progressive aspect of sanctification is the duty of every believer. But that's not even the issue. When we talk of generational curse, if you understand what that doctrine is talking about, it's really saying it's a carryover from maybe something or from our ancestors to us that is still sticking to the believer, that is mm-hmm. still holding the believer today from making a progress. I say that's not true. Because the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away and all things have become new. What does that
all
mean?
Right.
One more.
Galatians
chapter 3 verse 13 says that Christ removed our curse on the tree. How can that generational curse hang over on us when Christ already removed the curse? What is the essence of Christ's death on the cross?
Dear brother, I need to interrupt, but thank you for being succinct, raising those issues. And those that take issue, you've been given a good challenge by our friend Joseph from Nigeria. Sir, thank you for the call. Sorry I didn't have time to let you speak more, but I think you got your points across clearly. And if you're able to keep listening online through our website, because some folks may call in and challenge that. Maybe we'll have a whole discussion about this one day on the air. But again, thank you for the kind words and for your contribution. 866-34-TRUTH. Friends, we're going to Israel. The first time ever, I'm leading a tour to Israel planned for next May. And you want to jump on it now, either to put funds aside or get registered now to be part of it. I'll be joined by an expert tour guide, Dr. Michael Redelnik, professor of Jewish studies at Moody Bible Institute. We plan to have special times where both of us teach, times we can meet with Q&A, live broadcasts, and that's plus doing all the major things, seeing the major sites and connecting with believers in the land. So go to my website, askdrbrown.org. It's not until next May, but we're doing our best to get people signed up as early as possible, and that helps us lock in the best airfare prices and things like that. So askdrbrown.org, right on the home page, click on the Israel tour. We come back, I've got a bunch more things to share, but I want to get to as many of your calls as possible. So stay right there, and I'll be getting right back to you on the other side of the break.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast as we talk about African charismatic Christianity. What is God doing? Is there a mighty outpouring of the Spirit? There are amazing stats that say that in 1910, only 9% of Africa's population was Christian. By 2020, the population of professing Christians is expected to reach 49.3%. I have seen actual videos with Muslim leaders talking about how they're losing nations in Africa to Christianity. Islamic leaders saying these very things. And yet, in the midst of what God is doing, there are many abuses. There is much that is new. There are people who are saved for the first generation out of tribal traditions and witchcraft and voodoo. It is true that sometimes the cultural paradigm is that the people now look to the charismatic leader in place of the witch doctor. At the same time, in America, we look to the pastor as the CEO of the business or the anointed teacher and guide. We can't even question their words. I mean, we put people on our own kind of American pedestal many times. But rather than throwing out what's happening and saying the whole thing is counterfeit, why not recognize the glorious things God is doing? Why not stand side by side and help bring correction to the abuses? 866-348-7884. I want to go straight to the phone, starting with David in Atlanta, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call. My first comment is about the charismatic movement in Africa, whether it's real or it's fake. Wouldn't Jesus' parable about the wheat and the tares apply, where the landowner told the workers to don't go back into the field and try to root up the tares, lest they root up the wheat, that at the harvest that the reapers would reap the wheat into the barn and the tares they'd burn? And about curses, generational curses, the only thing I know about curses is that the book of Proverbs says that a curse causeless shall not come. A curse needs a cause, a reason to exist in your life.
Yeah, thanks for the comments. With regard to generational curses, those just tuning in, there's a lot of teaching in charismatic circles, well, not only charismatic, just broadly in the churches in Africa about generational curses. And that's because there's a lot of ancestor worship and sense of being tied in with ancestors. The question is, when we get saved, does all that break automatically, or do you ever need to break it? That would be the debate there. We had a forceful call with many scriptures and powerful arguments by a Nigerian Christian against the concept of generational curses right before this half-hour segment, and we'll continue to talk about that. With regard to the question of the wheat and the tares, there's no question that we cannot fully weed out unbelievers, deceivers, charlatans from the body before Jesus comes. It's impossible to fully weed that out. At the same time, we are to expose error and we are to address false teaching. We are to confront things that are wrong when the opportunities are there, when we see them, when it's clear. But we have to do it in such a way that we don't try to eliminate every last unbeliever, every last deceived person from our midst. Otherwise, we'd end up driving out some true believers who may be struggling in certain ways. 866-348-7884. I want to come right back. Our phone lines are jammed. I want to get right back to your calls on the other side of the break. Please take a few minutes. When you have the opportunity, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click on the latest article. When you do that, you'll read this article that I wrote about African charismatic Christianity. It's a little bit longer article than normal, but you'll see why. It is detailed, and the issues are very important, and they apply to us here in America.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Where do we start? Let me lay this out, and then I want to go straight to your calls. I'm talking to on radio stations across America, okay? And every station has different programming, right? Some of them have the same shows, but then they have local pastors and leaders and then other shows. So in the course of the day, if you listen for 24 hours, you would find people who agreed with me and you would find people who disagreed with me, right? There would definitely be those that said the same thing I say, some who said things differently, some that I've publicly differed with, some may have publicly differed with me. That's the reality. Or you hear me on the radio, you go to your home church, and your home church says, man, I love that Mike Brown guy. Have you heard his, you know, latest quote? Man, we love him. We want to get him to speak at our church. And you go to another church, and like, man, that Mike Brown guy on the radio, he's dangerous. I'm not saying everyone's talking about me. I'm using that as an example. Okay, so do we ignore this? Or do we, as believers in the same body and the same family, actually take the time to talk about our differences? So people began to say, what about the Strange Fire Conference that's coming up with Pastor John MacArthur? He says this and that. So I went, I looked at his descriptions, I read things. We got some quotes from leadership conferences in the last year or two so we'd know what his positions were. Then listen to what others have said at the conferences. I said, boy, I would agree with ABC abuses and DEF, I'd say, are wonderful and he's rejecting them. And I would say he's throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Let's talk about it. I continue to seek to have private dialogue, but then publicly differ with the issues as he's publicly saying things or posting new videos for the conference or having blogs on his website. I'm not following this day and night. People are sending this to me. I didn't even know about the Strange Fire Conference until it was weeks and weeks after it was announced on his radio show. I found out about it. Maybe, I don't know, it could have been months. But anyway, I'm not God's policeman. I thank God for what John MacArthur has done. I thank God for what R.C. Sproul has done. I thank God for so many fine brothers and sisters in the body, but we don't agree on everything. So I think we can be mature enough to talk about it without demonizing each other. You follow me? Can't we do that? Can't we have our public discussions so that we can now learn to live side by side as believers? Now I'm talking about people who are not believers. So anyway, 866-348-7884. My goal is unity, not division. That's why we talk about these things. Let's go to Rick in Payson, Arizona. Thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Rick. Are you there? We lost Rick. But I agree with the comment he was going to make that we get so spoon-fed now. That does the preaching, teaching, everything, soundbite, and so on. And where's the critical thinking? Where's the real discipling? Where's really getting people deeper into the Word? 866-34-TRUTH. Diane in Tampa, Florida, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Brother Brown.
Hello.
I was going to comment about the generational curses. I do not believe in them because of in Ezekiel chapter 18, really in 19 and 20, it talks about the soul that sinneth. It shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. I feel that we serve a sovereign God, and that he gives each and every one of us the right to choose to accept or deny him. And it, when the word of God goes forth, there is anointing upon God's word, and those that receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, what Christ did on the cross and shedding his blood for our sins, I believe that anointing breaks every bondage, curse, or whatever people want to call it, out of our lives. And but God gives us a free will to choose or to deny him.
So one question for you, Diane, not to challenge what you're saying, but to understand. Let's say someone, let's put aside a generational curse issue. Someone had a heavy addiction to pornography when they got saved, all right?
Right.
They genuinely got born again. They cried out to God, save me from my sins. In every case, will they be instantly delivered from that pornography addiction? Or let's say there was an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction. Will they be instantly delivered because of what Jesus did? Or will they, in some cases, have to now walk this out in a period that could take weeks or months to get totally free?
Brother Brown, I believe two things. I believe God can deliver a person instantly. It's his will. It's his purpose, his plan. Or I believe that some struggle and that they need to seek the Lord, because it says when you seek the Lord, you'll find him. And I believe sometimes the Lord allows a period of time for a person to go through. So that's my voice on that.
Got it. Okay, so in other words, not everything, God could do it. I was pretty much delivered, just got instantly free from, I mean, God worked on me for weeks and weeks and weeks, but the night I said I'll never put a needle in my arm again, I was free from that time on. But just to be clear then, you would say if there was some spiritual curse passed on through the generations, that's broken the moment you're saved, but not every addiction is instantaneously broken. It could be, but doesn't necessarily have to be.
Well, I believe that it's the way you're brought up. And you got to look at the different nations, too. Different nations that have not even heard the Word of God, they're brought up the way that they believe. And we as Christians, taking the Word of God into other nations, I believe when they hear the truth, the Word of God says, thy word is truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that it's by faith that we reach out and grab a hold of that truth of what Christ did on the cross. Again, he saves us, I believe, instantly.
Got it. All right. Yeah, let me just jump in so I can get to some others. But I appreciate that. I appreciate your comments very much. So thanks for weighing in. 866-348-7884. Chris in Dallas, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
So I'm calling because I've been to Africa three times as a missionary in Kenya and East Africa, and I found that among the quote conservative or quote charismatic churches, there is a big move of Pentecostalism, and I do believe that it's because when the enemy works against us, I believe that there's a pendulum, and on one side there is deception and seduction. On the other side, there is the power and, you know, more of the bloodletting and the evil sort of in-your-face kind of power. And it seems to me, from my own personal experience, that in America, obviously we are tempted with more of seduction and worldliness, whereas because of the spiritual awakeness of everyone there, there's more of the power, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to put a curse on you, and all of these sort of things. And so I believe that one reason that the Pentecostal church is growing so exponentially is because they're actually seeing people set free and delivered.
Yeah.
Like Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil.
Just to say this, you know, when about 30 years ago, a major seminary, Fuller Theological Seminary, the School of World Missions, began to study things out because they were sending out missionaries, and the missionaries after one term were coming back home. And they were suicidal, they were depressed, they were burnt out, they were discouraged, they had no intention of going back on the mission field. So they began to interview them. And one after another, after another, after another, the families would say the same thing, the husband, the wife, the same thing. You told us that dealing with demons was past, that didn't exist anymore. You told us these witch doctor things, they weren't real. Well, the witch doctor put a curse on our family. We've been sick ever since. And we've been harassed by demons and bad dreams. And then they realized, whoa, we need to equip them in the power of the Spirit, because the devil hasn't taken a vacation. That's the fact.
Well, sure.
So these churches are growing, as you say, because they are really addressing real issues. And in Africa, they don't make a big distinction between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. It's all one to them.
Yeah, that's correct. And I mean, even the scripture itself does say that it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And I do believe that, speaking to the curses as well, because while there, I actually was visited in a dream two nights in a row by a witch in my dream that said it came to destroy me and my family. And I do find that, obviously, the scripture says that Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, especially of those who believe. And if you look at the Jewish Passover,
I gotta jump in, because you hear that music, that means we're out of time. All right, thank you, Chris, for the call. Hey, Jesus really saves and delivers and sets captives free. That's why churches are growing around the world.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to get right back to your calls, 866-348-7884. Before I do that, let me just read this quote. This is from Professor Kwabena Asamoah-Gyadu, professor of contemporary African Christianity and Pentecostal Charismatic Theology in Africa at the Trinity Theological Seminary in Accra, Ghana. He says, the ministries of healing and deliverance have thus become some of the most important expressions of Christianity and African Pentecostalism. Much of the worldviews underlying the practice of healing and deliverance, especially belief in mystical causality, in other words, that there are things happening in the spiritual realm, resonates with African philosophical thought. So people recognize the reality of demons, they recognize the reality of the spiritual realm, and they recognize that Jesus saves, heals, and delivers. Unfortunately, as Pastor Conrad Mbewe, again, my apologies for mispronouncing his last name, as he rightly points out, there were very serious abuses in the charismatic movement that is spreading by tens of millions across Africa, but it's a genuine move of the Spirit with abuses and errors as opposed to something that should be dismissed. So last quote, and then I'm going to the phones for the rest of the broadcast. My colleague Daniel Kalender, grad from our ministry school, writes this as he's preaching to millions of Africans across the continent, and has been for some years now. If we're going to point out the negatives of the charismatic church in Africa, let's be fair and also point out the many, many positives. Without the charismatic church in Africa, Islam would have taken the continent over and there would be very little gospel influence at present. Waves of salvation have swept across entire nations and millions have responded to a clear gospel message of salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus alone. And so while it is likely that there's a little bit more to that quote. Here we go. He says many of these African Christians are the first generation of their tribe in history to become Christians. They'll have to work through many traditional tribal and cultural issues, just as our ancestors did in the West when the gospel first came to them. But we should not underestimate the power of the gospel and the ongoing work of the Spirit. We should thank God for the unprecedented harvest that's taking place and continue to contend for the integrity of the gospel. Amen to that. That is where our attitude should be. All right, we're able to reconnect with Rick in Payson, Arizona. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I wanted to make a comment from, this is a follow-up from a call that you took in the first part of the hour about the churches here in America and the pastors and how they can encourage their congregants to be on fire for Jesus and the Word. And what I'm finding is this trend now here in America of this PowerPoint mentality. When you go to church, everything is spoon-fed for you on the PowerPoint. You don't even have to crack open a Bible now because the pastor puts all the scriptures on the PowerPoint. And what I'm finding is it produces a lazy mentality of, like, show up in church and it's like going to the movies and you're not encouraged to dig into the Word of God like we used to back in the 80s, where everybody brought in their own Bible riddled with notes and highlighted scriptures. And I think it's producing a lethargy. That's just one of the things that I'm seeing in churches as I visit them.
Yeah, you bring up a really interesting point here. On the one hand, I started using PowerPoint for the first time back in 2007, and I realized, because I often use a lot of quotes, most times I preach, I don't know what I'm going to be preaching on much in advance, so I don't have notes. But when I do, I'll often have like a ton of quotes, or if I'm doing an extended teaching, I've got a ton of quotes. Right. And I found it's really hard for people to take all that much in an hour or an hour and a half of teaching. But if I have PowerPoint, I can bombard them with quotes, and they can, because they're reading it, they can take it in better. But you're absolutely right. There is something else that creates a total laziness where, okay, you don't have to open your Bibles. You don't mark your Bibles as someone's speaking. You open up the Bible on your cell phone, and while you're looking at your cell phone, you're looking at your emails, and it's kind of like a picture, a micro picture of the macro mentality in America. And how do we
produce disciples? You don't want to give them, you don't want to make them feel like they're at the movies where they can just sit back and cross their legs and just, you know, because it produces a mentality of a laziness. I'm telling you. I used to love the days when everybody came into church hungry to hear the word of the Lord, hungry with their Bibles open, flipping through pages, and I think it's just more powerful to make sure somebody gets the word of the Lord in them, and they open up their Bible and they see the scriptures for themselves, because the kids in the church, I'm sure, as they're growing up and they're just sitting there watching, and some of the pastors even show movie clips during their messages. I mean, they're using all kinds of movie clips during the message, showing like a presentation.
I understand.
Where's the fire of the Holy Ghost?
Right. The other thing is, why do we have to do that to keep people's attention? And then with the soundbite culture we're in, and people unable to dig deep and think things through, think critically. Yeah, it's Rick. It's a problem. I'm all for using technology, but yes, it is a problem. There are calls about generational curses. You know what? Let's actually focus on that in an upcoming broadcast. We'll just make a programming note to do that, to have a discussion. What does the Bible say? Is there such a thing as generational curses? Do they apply today to New Testament believers? Is that a heretical doctrine? What are the truths? Are there any? What are the dangers? We will take that up. It's nothing I've ever majored on in my life in ministry in 41 years now, but we will take it up. Friends, the most important book I wrote on revival and what real visitation looks like and how the Word comes with massive convicting power and how the Holy Spirit moves deeply and how we can discern what the Holy Spirit's doing with versus what the flesh or the devil is doing. The book is called Time for Holy Fire, Preparing the Way for Divine Visitation. It'll stir you. It'll move you. We have a special resource offer this week. When you order the book online, you can just click on the link, and when you order the book, you get a key for a free download. Or code for free download, so you can download over 10 hours of teaching. It's a whole series that's normally like a $20 series. You get that for free when you order the book, or when you call in to order, if you just give your email address, you'll be sent the code, and then you can immediately order the free series, and then you'll get the book in the mail. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Order the book, get the free download, or just go to my website. You can order there, askdrbrown.org. That's askdrbrown.org. You'll see the resource offer on the homepage. And remember to check out our Israel tour. Sign up now and join us next May. My bottom line today: while we recognize abuse and error taking place all around us, let us focus on Jesus and let us say, Lord, give me everything you have so I can serve you fully in this world.